flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The Super Bowl is set. Chiefs and Eagles once again. The rematch from a couple years back. And let's talk some football now as we head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Evan Washburn was on the sidelines for Chiefs and Bills. He's also heavily involved with Ravens Productions. He joins us now. And Evan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So I'll start here. What's it going to take for a team to get over the hump against the Chiefs?
Hey, good to be with you guys. I think it starts with trying to avoid playing an Arrowhead. That'd be a nice first step. Obviously, Baltimore pulled that off last year. And I think the way you start the game is critical. Now, Buffalo came back and grabbed the lead, and I thought it was really playing their best football in the third quarter. They make that stop out of halftime, and then they run the ball down the field, I think 80 yards, James Cook touchdown. And it's like, oh, okay, the Bills are ready to go in this one. And look, they lost by 3 points, so they did about as much as you can do, which they've done before. You got to avoid chasing points, which they ended up having to do based off of some failed two-point conversions. And outside of that, I think the Buffalo did about everything you could do, but that's what makes Kansas City so good.
Evan, a lot's been talked about the controversy in terms of a couple of officiating calls, the Josh Allen sneak on fourth down, the Xavier Worthy catch on his shoulder that looks like it hit the ground. What did you see on both those plays?
Probably not as much as anyone at home did. I'm on
well,
the sideline.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah, but looking back on those.
No, sure. Look, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't spent too much time since that game kind of diving in. The officiating stuff to me is kind of, it's not as interesting. I understand as a fan it would drive you crazy if you feel like you're being jobbed by the officials or they missed a call that affects your ability to win a game, but until they have technology in footballs, I guess is the one thing I heard Monday. I was on a show. They were talking about that for the down and distance. Mm-hmm. Okay, that works for me. Whatever can make it as fair and equitable as possible. But at the end of the day, just like one drop isn't the reason you lost the game, one first down, that I don't think determines result.
How do the Baltimore Ravens specifically get over this hump? Or are we just going to look back at this and say, nobody really got over this hump? You know what I mean? Like it just...
Hump being Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat yourself. And, I mean, Baltimore didn't even get a chance to get to Kansas City, obviously losing to Buffalo a couple weeks ago. When you get in these... I mean, you guys have all covered this league. Jason, you longer than I have. I mean, you get in these playoff games, it does come down to ball control, efficiency, ball security, and then making the play in the moment. And then hopefully you're in the position to make that play. And I would say Baltimore on a number of occasions over the course of the last couple of years have done portions of that formula and then have come up short in other areas. I don't think it's necessarily – I mean, there's cases where you can look at it and go, oh, personnel, we didn't have enough guys. I mean, I would think Buffalo, honestly, would have the biggest argument right now to say – we got into this game with this roster. I was in that locker room. I'm talking to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean after the game. They were not at all satisfied, but I look at that team as they overachieved by leaps and bounds from what I thought. So it really does come down to that.
Talking with Evan Washburn, Inside Access here on The Fan. Let me ask that, I guess, a similar question, but ask it differently. How close do you think the Ravens are?
Oh, they're extremely close. I think they've done everything they can do from – a roster-building standpoint, a performance standpoint at the most critical positions, i.e. quarterback and what Lamar has done. But you have to be the best version of yourself in the biggest games, and they just have not done that. I don't know what creates that. I don't know if that's a above-the-shoulders thing, if it's – it is – that's what I think makes this maddening but also extremely entertaining. You have no idea what's going to happen going into a game. The more you watch this league, the more you cover it, the more you get into the nitty-gritty, the granular things, all the analytics, you still have no idea what's going to happen, because I do think so much of it is the mental side of it and the fact that you need, in football standpoint, you need 11 guys doing – you got so many people need to be at their best version of themselves the most critical moments, and that's what I think, for whatever reason, has stood in Baltimore's way.
Some good news for the Ravens heading into next year. All signs point to Todd Monken coming back for his third year as offensive coordinator here. Were you surprised that Monken didn't end up landing one of those head coaching gigs?
No, I think he's deserving of the interviews, and what you do in the interviews, I think, is really what should be the separator. I don't know if it always is, but it's clear that two things, one that strike me with the coaching search. I do think he may have lent voice to this, but you do, I think, suffer from the better your team is, the less it seems to diminish your odds, unless you're like the one everybody wants. Like if Ben Johnson had been going deep into the playoffs, I still think he would have gotten the job that he wanted. But because you're not able to be as engaged in the interview process because you got a bigger job in front of you. So I think that kind of stands in your way. And then I do think there's something to the new factor where – just like Steve Spagnuolo, who has higher credentials than Todd Monken from an NFL coaching standpoint, having been a head coach, there's no reason in some regard he shouldn't be given more of an opportunity. But I think sometimes you kind of pass through some invisible barrier of, oh, you know, maybe he's not what's going to ignite our organization or fan base in a lot of ways.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have discussed on this show a little bit, and I'm sure we will throughout a long offseason, especially if Kansas City does win another football game, the likability or dislikability of this Chiefs team. And maybe I know too much how the sausage is made or whatever, but like I don't get a sense that within our industry, people have nearly as much difficulty, let's say, working with the Chiefs and their communication staff and Andy Reid and his players, as O say they would have, you know, for much of the Patriots' reign. Yeah. Like, I feel like Patrick Mahomes still comes off as a very humble sort of servant leader. I don't think the all shuck stuff is necessarily just for show. Like, I have a hard time getting, like, you know, like being an anti-Mahomes guy. Yeah. From your standpoint, what is it like for what you do working with that organization?
Well, you're spot on. Patrick Mahomes is awesome. The best part outside of the fan of the game and watching the game of Mahomes and Allen is having covered them since they were rookies and outside of their bank accounts massively changing. Yeah. And yes, there is some celebrity factor they have to manage, and you sense that at times there's can be an exhaustion, but they are the same that they've been in production meetings and interactions away from the field. And there's a down-to-earth nature to both, a humility to both. I think what you're getting to is kind of, are they the same as the Patriots in terms of fatigue and that evil empire that
yes.
I think New England embraced? And
yes.
I don't think Kansas City has that or is interested in that being their identity or their perception from the outside. And Patrick said something interesting in our meeting when we asked about sort of the fatigue factor and being, you know, rooted against, just because I think people want new
sure.
more so than they don't like Kansas City. And he brought up New England. He said, I have a larger, greater respect for what the Patriots did and specific to Tom Brady because of that. Because Mahomes, he's a likable guy. I think he likes to be liked.
Yeah.
He is liked by a lot of people. But the better you are and the more consistently you do what he's doing, you're going to alienate 31 other teams, and that's a lot of fan bases.
Evan Washburn, always great, man. Thank you so
Thank
much for
you.
Your time. Great season. Enjoy your off season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's get some hoops going. We'll talk Maryland.
Oh, that's right. You'll be right on the college basketball trail.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I watched that Maryland game against Indiana before I head over to the stadium, and it was cool. It was fun to see, you know, those guys get a. I mean, I know Indiana's not top 10 or anything, but it was a good win on the road, and
yeah.
I liked it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. See ya.
Coming up next, let's stick with the Ravens. And we were discussing this a little bit earlier, but who were some interesting unrestricted free agent guys that led, like some matches for the Ravens? Who are some guys the Ravens should be looking at? We're going to tell you next year on The Fan.